Welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. This is Paul from Marion, and as always, thanks for joining us on the DriveCast today. I'm going to get into a topic that, frankly, is sensitive and one that I haven't really given a lot of thought to prior to this study of Job chapter 3. Job says this to God, "Let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said, a man is conceived." And then he says in verse 11 of chapter 3, "Why did I not die at birth, come out from the womb and expire? Why did the knees receive me, or why the breasts that I should nurse? For then I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept. Then I would have been at rest." And then in chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would fulfill my hope, that it would please God to crush me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off." Here, Job is mourning the day of his birth, wishing, essentially, he were never born. And then, in chapter 6, perhaps more seriously, asking God to end his life. And the questions that came up for me: is it acceptable to wish you were never born? Is it okay to ask God to end your life? And that's why I said, look, today's intense. But these are the things that Job challenges us with. And so I was wrestling through this, and what I found really surprised me in terms of the number of people who communicate similar, if not the same, things to God, particularly in the Old Testament. Moses, the great Moses, he says this to God in Numbers 11, one of our favorite books. "Moses said to the Lord, 'Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, "Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a nursing child, to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." I mean, he just said, "If you will treat me like this, kill me at once." Okay, troubling. Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. "Please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." The great Elijah, 1 Kings 19:3-4. The text says, then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." The book of Philippians in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, "My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better." It's slightly different there, but a similar idea. Now, I wanted to ask, okay, well, what do we do with this, you know? Again, very sensitive, and stick with me. Don't end the podcast now. Numbers chapter 11, God responds to Moses. And I know I'm reading a lot of text here, but I think this is helpful. God says to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting. And let them take their stand with you, and I will come down and talk with you there. And I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone." Again, after Moses is saying, look, they don't have meat, they're complaining, "Did I give birth to these people? You did all this, God. If you're going to treat me this way, go ahead and kill me." And God responds by appointing these elders, and then could get into an interesting theological discussion on the Holy Spirit in an Old Testament context particularly. And he places the Spirit on those people that they might bear some of the burden, or carry some of the burden, that was upon Moses. Then we go to Elijah, and remember Elijah said to God, "O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And how does God respond to him? "Behold, an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water, and he ate and drank and lay down. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you.'" So Elijah, he's saying, "God, take my life." And God says, "Hey, Elijah, you need a warm meal, buddy. Let me tell you about that." In 2 Corinthians, it's not a direct response to what the Apostle Paul says in the letter to the Philippians. But in speaking to God, the Apostle Paul is asking, "Take away this thorn in my flesh." And again, he desires to be with Jesus. And Jesus says, "Look, my grace is sufficient for you," in 2 Corinthians 12:9. "For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly in my weakness," says Paul, "so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The point I want us to see here is that in despair, Paul's in despair as he recounts his agony and his pain. We see despair from Moses, we see despair from Elijah, from Jonah as well. And each time the response from God is grace and mercy and comfort, not tough love. And in the midst of our greatest pain, even to the point of we're asking, "God, just would you just take me out of my misery?" God gives comfort every time. And I think about Jesus crying out to the Father in Gethsemane, where he's saying, "God, is there any other way we can do this, Father?" And what does the Father do? Does he say, "Son, we've agreed on this plan since before all things existed. How dare you ask that of me?" No, he sends angels to minister to him. And so if you're in a season of great despair, I want to encourage you to be honest with God, to cry out to him. And I believe what he will do is he will meet you with comfort and love and grace, and remind you that he ultimately suffered as a way to end your ultimate suffering. And I also want to encourage you to remember that God ending one's life is a vastly different thing than a person ending their own life. God is the author of life. We are not. Nowhere in the scriptures is self-harm or suicide or one ending their own life in any particular way condoned or supported, encouraged. Nowhere is it supported. And yet we see these moments where people do cry out in great despair and saying, "God, can you just take me out of my misery?" And I just felt like in this Drivecast, it might be helpful to consider that difficult topic and to be encouraged that God will meet you. He will comfort you. And would your ultimate comfort be found in the promises of Scripture? Revelation 21:4, I don't have it in front of me at this moment, but it speaks of every tear being wiped away, that death will be no more pain. Because Jesus walked out of the grave, we can trust in those promises. And as long as we have breath in our lungs, that is for God to decide when that breath ceases. As long as we've got breath in our lungs, he has a purpose for us on this world and in this life, and that purpose is ultimately to bring him glory. And so would we be encouraged by that today? Thanks for joining us on the Drivecast today. I want to pray for you, and I want to give you some time to pray as well and reflect and process, and I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Father, I so appreciate that you place in your word things that honestly I'm a little bit nervous to talk about. I don't want to say the wrong thing. And so, Lord, I'll trust you with today's Drivecast that you've got it. You're in control of that. I take anything from someone's ear that wasn't from you. But Father, I do see in your word this consistent comfort for those in such great despair. And so for anyone listening to this who's maybe at a similar point, would they find their comfort in you, Lord? would they be reminded of the suffering of Christ, that he suffered so that we would be guaranteed an eternity of peace and of your presence, Lord. And would that give them an encouragement? And would you meet them? And would you comfort them? Lord, we trust you with these things. And we come to you because of Jesus and for the glory of Christ. Amen.